listening to the Paul McGuire Report. And once again, welcome to wherever you are on planet Earth, because whether you're in the USA or Europe or one of the South American nations or wherever you are, mankind, and by mankind I mean people like you and me, ordinary people, the working class, the middle class primarily, all over planet Earth, is now facing the greatest threat that it has ever faced in the history of civilization. But the problem is that the vast majority of people who are the targets of this threat, the vast majority are unaware, they're blind to the danger that they're in. And it's a very serious predicament, very serious. So the question is, how can you, how can I, how can we together wake them up out of the trance state? And psychological researchers estimate that approximately 50% of the American population lives in a trance state, which means a form of a hypnotic state. And because they're living in a trance state, which is a hypnotic state, it's a collective hypnotic state, they can't, their perceptions are shut down. It's like somebody unplugged their flat screen TV, or somebody unplugged their computer, but there was no battery backup in it. So the reason we're facing this conflict with such intensity is because there exists an entity that many people don't believe exists. But you know what? We can't worry about people that are in a trance state, because of course they can't conceptualize that an elite group exists. That's impossible for them to comprehend, because without succumbing to circular reasoning, because they're in a trance state. And that trance state didn't just emerge in their life by happen chance. The trance state is and was the product of very sophisticated scientists and technology people who learned how to weaponize things like mass media, the internet, social media, education, scientific mind control, social engineering, advertising, and many other things. They learned how to weaponize that. And what do I mean by weaponizing it? They learned how to turn those things, like mass media, like entertainment, like music, whatever. They learned how to transform those things into very powerful military instruments of oppression, which enable them to, without firing a shot, it enables the globalist elite to put hundreds of millions of people into captivity. Now you say, well, I don't believe that. You know what? I don't give a hoot what you believe. And that should be your response, by the way, wherever you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report from. You need to have the confidence in your beliefs. You don't have to be a PhD in all these categories, but by simply being acquainted with some bullet points of truth, you become somebody that isn't going to be pounded upon and humiliated and ridiculed and controlled. So we're not talking about you being rude or arrogant, or me being rude or arrogant, but let's be real among one another right now. Every time you, and every time I, for the most part, bring up a powerful truth, which we know is true because we did our homework, we know is true because we examined and researched the facts, every time we bring up one of the truths or the factual data that we've researched, the automatic response from the vast majority of people in America and across the world is to immediately, with even without thinking, that they do it, they're on autopilot. They have been programmed. The following response that you and I encounter is the result of scientific mind control programming. So when you bring up the truth, they're in a state of hypnotic autopilot. And so their immediate non-thinking response is to fire away at you non-thinking insults, because they don't have the mental knowledge, the mental facts to actually debate you on what you're talking about. So simply from a state of consciousness that we'll call autopilot, they try to dismiss you, marginalize you, and wipe you out by calling you names like conspiracy theorists and, you know, other assorted names. And so you need to get to the place. And there's only one way to get to that place, by the way. Let's not kid ourselves. If you're going to be an ignoramus, I'm going to be very frank on today's program. And so please don't think I'm insulting you, because it's not targeted towards you. It's more targeted towards the larger community of both conservatives, some libertarians, and specifically Christians, that think that they can live in la-la land intellectually, and they think it's a fruit of the spirit to know nothing about everything. Well, that's awkward English, but so be it. So the problem is, these people who are in an autopilot hypnotic trance state, you'll bring something up like saying, you know, there's no such thing as global warming, which is true. And they will immediately say, you're a conspiracy theorist, which is name calling, because they don't have facts to defeat you. They don't have knowledge to defeat you. So they go into the insult mode, like you're a conspiracy theorist. But you have got to acquire enough knowledge. You don't need to have enough knowledge to write the Encyclopedia Britannica, but you need to acquire enough knowledge to defend your position intellectually. And so when they attack you, you're not trying to be unkind, but it's kind of like you have to learn what I'm trying to teach you on the Paul McGuire Report, because you're not going to get it from your church. What you're getting from most churches, not all of them, I know many fine, exceptional pastors, fine, exceptional churches, etc. But for the most part, the evangelical church, the Bible-believing church, has deteriorated, has degraded to the point of being a big serving of quivering lime green jello with whipped cream on it. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about the fact that I grew up in an intellectual home in New York City, an existentialist, intellectual, secular humanist home, where I was taught to read, think for myself, and if I wanted answers, I was taught to read books. So I was immersed in self-learning and self-education, and it was at a very, very high level. Now, what I'm trying to teach you, to equip you with, is a form of what we could call intellectual jujitsu or intellectual karate, whereby learning certain techniques and movements in debate and in defending yourself, which you have a right to do, by the way, when you're attacked, you can dismantle your opponent's attack based on falsehoods with a few strategically placed words, all right? So, they call you a conspiracy theorist because they don't know anything and they have no facts to defeat your argument. So they'll just go down to name calling. You know, you're a nut, you're a wacko, you're a crazy, you're a conspiracy theorist. It's over. Those days are over. And you know why those days came to begin with? Because we have leadership in the Christian church and leadership in many circles that, not all, there are many exceptions, but we have leadership that consists of cowards, men primarily, who are frightened to take a stand. And so they never bothered to learn the truth so they could teach you the truth so you could defend yourself adequately instead of being like, you know, a soft target. So the way you deal with these attacks is you interrupt them immediately. That's not rudeness. You know, you don't, it's not being a good Christian. Don't confuse being a good Christian with being somebody who stands there and sucker punched all day long. That's not your role. That's not your call. You're a child of God. You're a son or daughter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Therefore, you have a right to defend yourself by speaking the truth, which, by the way, the Bible talks about combat, not necessarily physical militaristic combat, but the Bible talks about psychological warfare combat, logical debating combat, and using spiritual weapons combat. That's why the Bible teaches you about wearing the full armor of God. Primarily, this is spiritual armor, but you know, the spiritual world interlocks and interfaces with the world of thinking and thought and intellectualism. So, one of the things you realize is that God tells you regarding the weapons of your warfare that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, that one of your primary weapons of warfare is the sword of the Spirit. Now, that implies that every true Bible-believing Christian should be dressed in the full armor of God every single day of their lives, so they're not soft targets, and that they know how to use and operate the various weapons they've been given in the full armor of God. So you have the sword of the Spirit. And the sword of the Spirit is a double-edged sword. That makes it very dangerous because that means it's sharp on both sides. So either way you defend yourself by wielding the sword of the Spirit, you have to be very careful with it because it cuts offensively. And if you're not careful, it can cut you. So it's a double-edged sword. In addition, this double-edged sword, is the Word of God. So your primary weapon, your primary offensive weapon, is the Word of God. So you got to pull your head out of the vats of quivering lime green Jell-O with the spray whipped cream. You got to pull your head out of that. And you've got to use the weapons of your warfare that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Therefore, the Bible teaches you that you are supposed to be using the weapon, spiritual weapon, known as the sword of the Spirit. And that means the Word of God. So the way you win arguments against people who are attacking the Bible, because that's exactly what they're doing, they're attacking Jesus Christ. They're attacking the truth. They're attacking the Bible. You're not supposed to stand there like a stooge. You're supposed to pick up the sword of the Spirit and you expertly sever the flaming missiles being shot at you. You expertly sever with your sharp sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, all the strongholds and the verbal and the phony intellectual attacks that they will attack you with. You defeat them very quickly, very neatly, very surgically, and very concisely by using the Word of God. But you see, we have all these millions of Christians going to church, and they never get taught by the majority of Christian leadership. They never get taught how to defend themselves, how to defend the faith by using the Word of God as a spiritual sword. And it's really very simple. It's very basic. So you have two basic options. You can do what they're essentially telling you to do, which is stand there like a dummy, like a stooge, and just be pounded upon. And that doesn't do any good for anybody. Nobody comes to Christ watching a Christian be pulverized. Or you can wield expertly the Word of God. That means you have a total knowledge or a thorough knowledge of a biblical worldview consisting of biblical truth from Genesis to Revelation. Now, my dear friend, now you are being who you're supposed to be. You're spiritually armed and dangerous. You're a threat to the devil, and you're a threat to demonic powers. So you don't put up with this. You don't allow people to call you a conspiracy theorist. That's like calling you an idiot. You don't let them get away with it. You have a right to defend yourself. So you, when they fire the words conspiracy theorist or any other insult at you, spend some time gaining knowledge and use the weapon of knowledge to put them in their place. It's not about your ego. It's about your job as a believer in Christ. So that you then it comes down to something specific. Whatever they're trying to bring up as an argument, whatever they're trying to accuse you of being crazy about, you dismantle that argument with the truth. You have some facts available. You understand what I'm saying? It's not that hard. It really is not that hard. But you have to make an initial choice. You either go to a pastor, a church, a Bible study, a minister, or whatever that's going to equip you in waging spiritual warfare and defending the faith, which is where you should be going. Or you disobey God, cop out, bow to a spirit of fear, and you go to a church which hides its head in the sand and is basically terrified, and as such, they become impotent and useless in every spiritual battle. Are we on the same track here? Okay. So, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. We're going to go deeper into the truth specifics regarding what the game plan is behind these global events, these world events that are happening all over planet Earth right now. They're events that could potentially lead us into a World War III type of a conflict. But you see, if we're doing our job, which is to function as intercessory prayer warriors, Jesus Christ has given us the power to use the authority he's given us in the name of Jesus Christ. So we can go boldly to the throne room of God. Now, why do we go boldly to the throne room of God? Because we appropriate by faith the blood of Jesus Christ, and therefore that gives us the right and confidence to know that when we come boldly to the throne of grace, God accepts us and will be willing to answer all of our prayers. Why? Because God isn't going to look at sin or past sins or anything else in our lives. All of that we remove when by faith we ask Jesus to cleanse us with the blood of Jesus Christ. That gives us the permission to go boldly into the throne of grace or the throne of unmerited favor and ask God for what we need and engage in high-level spiritual warfare. That's what it's all about. Okay, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. How did we get in this mess? We got in this mess because starting in the later 1800s, but then really beginning to accelerate about 60 years ago, America was infiltrated by enemies of the gospel of Jesus Christ, specifically the Frankfurt School Marxist intellectual professors who migrated into America and became the heads of prestigious think tanks and the heads of Ivy League universities. And as tenured professors, they spent decades indoctrinating youth. You and I were indoctrinated by them, but you probably don't realize it. Indoctrinating youth into becoming atheists, Marxists, and socialists. And their goal is to take down America as we know it. Their goal is to force America to give up its rights to a world socialist, Marxist, global government that is secretly controlled by the globalist elite. So their goal is a one world government, a one world economic system, a one world religion, and a one world government. That's what this guy, Klaus Schwab, is all about. He is the head of the World Economic Forum. He is one of the leaders of the globalist elite. And he has unlimited money. And what you have to understand is that the game that they're playing is not what you think it is. And they're taking advantage of your ignorance, of your lack of understanding concerning what's really going on. So like Klaus Schwab and the globalist elite say a lot of things that sound very promising, very hopeful, very utopian, and it really tickles the ears of the average person, even in America. But look. History should teach you that he has no intention, and the globalist elite have no intention whatsoever about carrying through on their promises to create a utopia for the common man and woman. You know, that's the same lie that the Marxists and communists and the socialists have used for decade after decade. They promise a worker's paradise, but they have never delivered a worker's paradise. What they've delivered is a worker's hell. They promise, you know, freedoms, but they strip people of freedoms. And everybody who lives in one of their worker's paradise nations lives in a bloody dictatorship where their lives are threatened. And they've been bitterly and horribly betrayed. That's what Klaus Schwab is all about. And the only people he fools are people that are ignorant and don't know history. And there's a lot of Christians in that category. So, this globalist elite, by the way, this is something that was very hard for me to discover and uncover. I began to see the initial clues when I was a radical activists demonstrating with the radical activist Abby Hoffman when I was 14 years old in Manhattan, New York. And I found myself in various places with radicals of the counterculture. And it took me a while to get it, to be perfectly honest. And what I began to get was that the counterculture was nothing like it pretended to be. It was not an authentic counterculture. It was not an authentic movement. It was not an authentic revolution for the people. Those were all propaganda and lies. What the counterculture really was a clever trap, a clever trap device financed by the super billionaire capitalists like the Rockefellers and people like Klaus Schwab and others. They secretly financed the hippie movement, the counterculture, the radical politics of the underground, the weather underground. It was the super billionaires and the super capitalists that were paying for all of that. That's why it took off. It wasn't a spontaneous youth movement. What the globalist elite have been doing since as far back as history teaches us about them, what the globalist elite have been doing is they always finance both opposing sides. Like they finance communism against capitalism, and they'll finance this group against that group. They do that strategically and intentionally because this allows them to conquer and take over both nations. So when we talk about the communist revolution in Russia, the globalist elite and the Illuminati financed that revolution. And this was their purpose. Their purpose was to make all the people in Russia their slaves, force the people in Russia to work at slave labor, take away all their rights and their liberties, and basically trap them in a dictatorship and a living hell. The same thing happened with Chairman Mao in communist Russia. The same thing happened in Fidel Castro's Cuba. And we could go on and on. Every single communist nation, without exception, has proven to be a bitter, poisonous trap that has enslaved the people, the masses, and it has allowed the globalist elite to steal the money of that nation, to create slave labor, to exploit all the natural resources. And it's basically the rape of nations under the subterfuge that we're here to liberate you. We're here to set you free. But they're not here to set you free. The whole ploy of the globalist elite is to seduce you with spiritual deception and political deception. And in the end, you'll be a slave, worse off than you've ever been. So that's what the global reset is all about. Make no mistake about it. The global reset is in truth, when you strip back the facade, the global reset is a dictatorial takeover of the world by the doctrines of the WEF, the World Economic Forum. So Klaus Schwab, you know, talks a big talk. He's a super con man, super liar, and he seduces the masses with little lie statements like you'll own nothing and you'll never be happier in your whole life. That is such a crock. You'll own nothing, but you'll never be happy in your life. That is a total lie, and you have to be a total imbecile and a total fool to believe that lie. There is nobody among the globalist elite and the super rich that have any intention whatsoever of owning nothing. Klaus Schwab and his billionaire buddies have no intention whatsoever of owning nothing. And they don't expect to own nothing and then be happier than they've ever been in their lives. That is a deception that only a complete fool would believe. It's a lie. It's a seduction. Communism and Marxism always move by deception. It's a lie to hook people in to a dictatorial regime. Yeah, you'll own nothing, and you'll be in a concentration camp doing slave labor for Klaus Schwab and his buddies. That's what you'll be doing. There'll be no paradise. You're being lied to right in your face. You're not going to be happier than you've ever been in your life. You have to be, very challenged to believe that. Okay, so the real truth regarding Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum is he wants to, along with the other globalist elite, and they have a whole bunch of tools in their tool chest that they are using to radically reduce the Earth's population from 7 billion to 500 billion. They want to, and they're in the process of massively reducing the world's population. Again, primarily in a first step. Many or most of them are considered by the ruling elite. We're talking about the mass population. The ruling elite looks at the mass population as, quote, useless eaters and consumers. So to be blunt, they look at you and me like human garbage. In the 1960s, the world's consumption of natural resources exceeded the factor of one of what Mother Earth is generally providing. Now, as we look at the data, let me read this to you. This is important. You have to understand what's really going on behind the vaccination, what is potentially going on behind the conflicts in Europe right now. And there's a diversion going on because all of these conflicts have created a huge shift of capital and assets that were transferred from the bottom or lower class and middle class. That means specifically the globalist elite targeted and raided mostly small and medium-sized businesses. Okay? So you think it was an accident? What happened over the last couple of years was no accident. The working class, the middle class, they were targeted for robbery by the globalist elite. So the middle class and the working class and the small and medium-sized business owners are the ones who lost absolutely the most money, the most assets. The globalist elite, the super rich, literally got richer and richer and richer and richer, while the middle class, working class, and the middle class, working class, small business owners were robbed. Robbed, flat out robbed through all these rules and regulations, okay? And here's some facts to prove it. According to Forbes magazine, 2021, they accounted for 2,755 billionaires worldwide, an increase of 660 new billionaires over 2020. Altogether, these billionaires are worth $13.1 trillion, which is up from $8 trillion in 2020. So listen to that carefully. Talk about a heist. Talk about a gun being put to your head. In 1 year, a according to Forbes magazine, in the year 2021, Forbes magazine said there was 2,755 billionaires worldwide, and that this represented an increase of 660 brand new billionaires. In 2020. So in that 1 year period, 2020 to 2021, the wealth of the trillionaires, the wealth of the billionaires skyrocketed, and there were, they made an additional, the amount of money that the billionaires made during that 1 year went from $8 trillion in 2020 to $13.1 trillion in 2021. And now it's deeper than that. They made out like banksters. You see, what this whole, all the chaos, all the crisis provided the perfect heist environment for the billionaires to make massive amounts of new money and increase their profits. And the way they did it was not the old-fashioned way of hard work and production and stuff. The way they did it was they stole it from the middle class and the working class. And one of the ways they stole it is through using these chaotic events as a cover. Now, Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum have just begun. And you need to pay attention, and you need to wake up. And I'm not talking down at you. I'm talking face-to-face with you. Because you know what? I just happen to actually care about your welfare and your future. Because I understand, because I am working class, middle class, okay? I'm not some big rich person. I'm an ordinary person. And I don't want to see your family, your livelihood destroyed by these people that are literally fascists. They have no concern for you whatsoever. They are dictatorial, Luciferian. You say, how can you say that? Because I've done enough research to know what a majority of them believe privately, the rituals they're involved in, their pride in being part of Illuminati bloodline families, and the satanic nature of their actions. Okay, so Klaus Schwab wants to digitize everything, including, listen carefully, he wants to digitize everything, including your brain. He wants to convert humans into transhumans. That's what he said publicly. That means Schwab and the other globalist elite want to transform us through genetic engineering, through biochips, through graphene oxide, and a wide spectrum of technologies and sciences. They want to change us from being human to non-human. This is the goal of transhumanists. Now, the first major transhumanist is a guy you should all be familiar with if you're reading my books. And that's Julian Huxley, the brother of Aldous Huxley, who wrote Brave New World. Julian Huxley headed up the United Nations division called UNESCO. And UNESCO is the United Nations global educational scientific arm. It creates the educational programs for all the kids in classrooms all over the world. But Julian Huxley also was one of the first transhumanists. He was one of the first signers of the Humanist Manifesto. Now, what you have to understand about transhumanism is, on certain levels, and I mean this very carefully, on certain levels, and I mean it very qualified, it can be potentially beneficial, but it very easily crosses over into the area of men playing God. When other men genetically modify you by force against your will, they're playing God. And that's what's going on. And all this baloney about your talents are going to be enhanced, you're going to be able to do all these wonderful things, your strength, your talents, your intelligence, your memory, your productivity, it's all going to be super enhanced by technology. That's not true. That's a lie. Because you got to look at their whole program. Julian Huxley and all the globalist elite are not only transhumanists, they have been since the 1800s in America, and really taking off in the 1920s in America through Rockefeller money. The globalist elite are heavily into the science of eugenics. You say, well, what is the science of eugenics? The science of eugenics is a highly secretive genetic program where the globalist elite use science and technology to manipulate people's genetic codes, and they kill off the weak, inferior, non-intelligent people, because their goal is to kill off the useless eaters, and their other goal is to, through science, genetically produce a, you know, like a master race, a godlike race, and they're very busy doing that. But they're lying about that. I mean, they're not telling people up front what they're doing. Okay, so what do you think all the secret ingredients are in the vaccine? Graphene oxide, a metallic substance, which turns every human being into a broadcasting and a receiving system. So if your bloodstream is filled with graphene oxide, you have been transformed without you knowing it into a broadcaster of electromagnetic frequencies and a receiver of electromagnetic frequencies. That means they can externally control your mind, emotions, and they can turn you with a flick of a switch using a particular specific electromagnetic frequency. They can turn you into a slave-like robot, an android-like slave, or a robot-like slave. Very quickly, with technology, they can transform you from human to non-human, in which they have every intention, according to their own documents, of enslaving you. Now, I want you to think of those words that I just talked to you about and compare it to Klaus Schwab's words of, you'll own nothing, but you'll never be happier in your life. Let me tell you something. Some of you better wake up, because you're in a stupor. And if somebody really loved you, if somebody really cared about you, they would nonviolently slap you in your face to wake you up out of your trance state. Because this isn't a game. This isn't some bizarre science fiction movie. And you can call me anything you want. I don't give a hoot what you call me. I got over that in third grade. I used to be petrified about what people thought about me. And so, when I was a young kid in grammar school, I would have these horrible nightmares that I went to class forgetting to wear one sock, or I went to class wearing two different color socks. I was so concerned about what people thought of me that I was like a walking target. And then in third grade, I said, you know what? It's time for this to end. I am no longer in my life going to be allow myself to be subjected to other people's put downs and insults. And, you know, they didn't use the word the conspiracy theory back then. But if you thought for yourself, which believe me, I did, they called me other names. I said, it's over. I will never give any attention to what people think of me again. And so today, I truly don't give a hoot what you think of me. And if people call me a conspiracy theorist, I could care less. Why would I care if an idiot calls me a conspiracy theorist? The idiot hasn't spent 5 seconds doing any work or research at all. The idiot, in fact, doesn't have a right to speak based on preparedness or knowledge. So why do I care that some fool calls me a conspiracy theorist? I am not going to be controlled by somebody else's words, and neither should you. That's how you win, not how you lose. Okay, so Schwab's plan is to fully digitize money. That means make it wireless with a nanochip implant or a biochip implant. And the reason he and the other globalist elite want to do that is it gives governments, this is what governments lust for, it gives governments full control over your, the people's money. And that's what they want. The banksters want full control of your money and assets illegally. And the way they can get away with it is by putting a microchip implant in you and having a cashless society. And then they can do what they're doing in China right now. They can create some kind of social credit system where they reward you or punish you after monitoring you through electronic surveillance. And if you're a good citizen of the New World Order, you get rewards. And if you're a bad citizen of the New World Order, you're punished as a disobedient citizen. It's a nightmare dictatorship. Is that what you want? Klaus Schwab is a liar. Okay, let's continue on. There are many dangerous things that are coming to the surface, and you need to pay attention to them because they are going to affect you, your children, and your grandchildren. And if you say you love your children, grandchildren, and so on and so forth, if you say that you love them, and you are not involved in spiritual warfare, and you are not doing whatever you can to turn the tide of this spiritual battle and preserve our freedoms in America, then all I can say to you is shame on you. What parent or grandparent or whatever would allow their child to inherit a totalitarian dictatorship for their future? If you have an ounce of a conscience in you as a parent, you cannot allow that to happen, whether they appreciate it or not, because probably right now they're in a trance state and they think you're a nut. You're laughing. I know you're laughing because I'm laughing. That's what they're doing. They're acting based on the way they've been programmed. They think we're nuts. But we still have to do what we can to save them, because in time, if we do that, they will wake up out of that hypnotic state and they will regain their God-given purpose and their God-given identity. And so we have to move with courage and we have to reject fear. And the time is now. Okay, Bill Gates. He wants digital IDs implanted in everybody. This guy, Bill Gates, is a nightmare. You know, I've told you this before. My mother taught me. She was from Missouri. She is to this day a secular humanist, but she's probably one of the most ethical people I've ever met. And she taught me as a young boy, because she grew up in Missouri, how to read people's faces. And I don't get it. You look in somebody's eyes, you look at their face, and you read them. It's not an occult thing. It's a common sense thing. Why? Because bad people, the evil that is in the hearts of bad people, comes right through their face and eyes, and you can spot them. You can look at a bunch of people, and the Holy Spirit will even additionally help you by giving you a spirit of discernment. You can look at people and tell whether they're evil or good. Now, when I look at Bill Gates, you say, well, you're judging him. Yeah, I am judging him because his actions reinforce my perception. Bill Gates looks like a scrambled, evil individual who, in my opinion, potentially, because I don't know it to be a fact, but potentially, it appears that he might do anything for power. So why is it an accident that he's behind the vaccination? He's behind Agenda ID 2020, the chip implant. He was behind the Common Core educational system, which was nothing more than forcing kids to memorize curriculum, brainwash them into not knowing how to think, and then they get high grades if they simply memorize what the textbook says or memorize what the teacher says. And this fools the parents into thinking, oh, my kid's getting smarter because he has high grades or she has high grades. Nothing could be further from the truth with Common Core. Your kid is actually getting dumber and dumber, but you're being sucker punched by these illusion-based higher grades on the tests. Okay, now, Constitution and the Bill of Rights says that we are the people. So we are the people who need to use the consciousness and the brain power that God has given us. Don't be hung up by the word consciousness. It's not a New Age term. Consciousness simply refers to the full spectrum of your brain, your perception, your awareness, your cognitive abilities, and so on and so on. And the elite want to do everything in your power to wage war on your consciousness. Because if they can suppress your consciousness, they can enslave you. And that's exactly what they're doing. Okay, so what do they want to do using COVID as a cover story and other things also? They want radical, well, they want to make a global government. But if we raise our consciousness, and if Bible-believing Christians in America would stop going to churches and pastors and ministries which are feeding them fear, brainwashing, and false doctrine, then they could awaken biblically to what God wants them to do. And God has given us the power to turn back the wheels on globalization. God has given us the power to return America to a sovereign nation. You say, why is that a big deal? The only reason you would ask me a question, why is that a big deal, is because you've been brainwashed and dumbed down. And your pastor, not all pastors, but many pastors, have added to that. It's important for America to come back to a sovereign nation because the only reason we have religious liberties, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of religion, et cetera, the only reason we're free to practice Christianity, et cetera, in America is because we have a Christian-based constitution and a Christian-based Bill of Rights. None of the other nations have that. The counterfeit rights in other nations are all based on humanism and secularism. And that's why we want a sovereign nation. We don't want a global government nation, because a global government nation is a dictatorship. We want to reverse this digital banking, finance, and monetary system. We don't want to go back to the Stone Age, but all of that digital stuff is going to be used to conduct mass surveillance on you, spy on you, profile you, control you, and eventually lock you up in a prison camp. Think that's paranoia? Read your history books. We need an economy that is based on sovereign currencies. Well, what does that mean? That means printing money from nothing, which is what the international banks do. They print trillions of dollars, but they don't have anything tangible like gold or silver or precious jewels to back it up. So it's a totally corrupt financial system that enslaves the middle class and the working class. We have to go back to a monetary system that's real, not a fraudulent one. Of course, it's important to respect cultural differences, ethnic differences, et cetera, et cetera. There is no place for racism and things of that nature in our culture. So don't misconstrue what I'm saying. And when it comes to trade, I mean, the goal is to win. The goal is to make profit. The goal is not. Right now, our politicians, many of them are on the take. They are literally getting money under the table from countries like communist China and other nations. When I say money under the table, I mean they're getting billions and billions of dollars under the table to sell our nation out to nations like communist China. That's got to end. Okay, so we can't allow the illusion or the delusion in our minds to control us. If we walk in a mindset where we're saying to ourselves, oh, this is impossible, there's no way we could do this. As long as we think that way, and by the way, thinking that way is sinful because it represents a fundamental disbelief and unbelief in God's word, which clearly says all things are possible with God. So we can't allow ourselves to think and believe that, you know, all of this is impossible to achieve. And that's what a lot of pastors and Christian schools and stuff are telling the students. And that's a lie. It's a stronghold. And it will enslave you. Okay, so I want to get into some other things. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Be sure to visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Take advantage of all the financial discounts we're offering on books that deal with this subject and other subjects by going to paulmcguire.us. Take advantage of all the free materials, free resources at paulmcguire.us. Hundreds of hours of radio archives, the Roku channel, the video messages, hundreds of video messages I've given at Paradise Mountain Church on the Roku channel, interviews, conferences, etc. And spread these messages, spread this information far and wide. And most importantly, we need to expand. This is a battle of ideas and thinking. And it's a battle that is taking place largely inside the human mind. The way we're going to win this battle is influencing people. The way we influence people is we have to have the opportunity of presenting our message, our facts, our documentation to people. And that's where the war is. The people we're up against have massive budgets, and they are Orwellian. But, you know, I'm dedicated and committed because I refuse to allow myself to be defeated by making my decisions based on size. I make my decisions based on, yes, wisdom, in conjunction with the fact that all things are possible with God. But I need partners who will stand with me, because this is it, folks. This is the battle of the ages. If we lose, I don't need to explain the price to you if we lose. You already know it. But if we win, we can enjoy the victories of winning, and we can preserve freedom for our children and grandchildren and millions of people in this nation and around the world. But the only way we can do this is we have to pull together. So if you don't feel inclined to support me in this ministry, then pray and find somebody you're going to support. But you better get behind somebody quickly that you feel is doing the job or moving into the right direction of increasing their effectiveness. And that's my goal, is to substantially increase our effectiveness. So I need your help. Pray and then donate, make a contribution, and know that you're doing something. And pray for me and this ministry. Pray for our nation. We need to begin to pray individually every day for this nation. We can wage war spiritually. You have no idea, and some of you do have an idea. Forgive me for saying that. Let's put it this way. Most of you do have the idea that you have enormous power in prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, and that you can tear down the territorial spirits and the demonic powers and call down the armies of God. But this isn't a game. You've got to do it, because you can't assume that there's somebody else doing it. Jack Hayford taught that to me years ago. He said, because he would teach regularly about how we as believers had to engage in intercessory prayer warfare. And he would continually remark to the congregation of the Church on the Way, he would tell us, he'd say, you know, don't assume that there are millions of people or thousands of people praying prayers like we are. He said, the fact is, there may be little to no one actually praying. And the fact is that there may be nobody praying. And then he would say, the fact is, we may be the only people who are actually praying and engaged in intercessory prayer over this particular issue or topic or person. And it was a sober reminder that don't discount your prayers, because the reality is, I have found in my experience that a lot of Christians talk about how they're going to pray, but very few do pray. So you've got to fulfill your commitment to the Lord and pray. It's not about how long you pray. It's about the fact that you do pray. And if you don't feel worthy to pray, here's how you fix it in 30 seconds. You ask God to forgive you of all sins and cleanse you by the blood of Jesus. End of story. Now you go into the throne room of God, and you are worthy to pray and to call down the power of God. Okay, we'll be back in just a minute. Visit paulmcguire.us. This is the Paul McGuire Report. Okay, this is one of the facts about Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum that I feel is imperative to communicate to you. I've suspected this long before Klaus Schwab came on the scene. I suspected this like 30 years ago. And in fact, I hypothetically conceptualize the reality that there was a very powerful elite group in the world and in the United States that specifically raise up future leaders, future prime ministers, future presidents, you know, future heads of television networks and the movers and shakers of planet Earth. That there is some kind of secret body, secret organization, or secret society that both selects future leaders among possible choices of young people, young boys and young girls at an early age. And after they select them, they then groom them, program them, and train them to be agents of this great reset and the dictatorial plans of Klaus Schwab. Now, this is sobering, but when Klaus Schwab's statements, and there's a video I saw on YouTube where he comes out, writes out, and says it, the World Economic Forum, and I went to the World Economic Forum website, so if you want to go to the World Economic Forum website, you can look up about how the WEF is training global leaders. And they have countless names of top people all over the United States, all over the world, that are the product of being programmed and groomed and trained for leadership beginning in their childhood by Klaus Schwab. So, let me just throw out some names to you. So I believe this has been going on for actually hundreds of years through secret societies. But with Klaus Schwab, we know for a fact that he began doing this over 30 years ago. He began selecting, promising young politicians, artists, industrialists, the top executives and CEOs and heads of big corporations like Volkswagen, Coca-Cola, British Petroleum, the oil company, Amoco, and other giant, industrial and business empires, as well as training young global leaders from the time they're really young by sending them to special schools and training them in things that gives them enormous superiority in the marketplace. But also training them to implement their marching orders, the marching orders of the globalist elite, with Nazi-like precision. So, the people who have gone through the Young Leaders Training Program are people like the head of Germany, Angela Merkel. Now, I've looked at Angela Merkel for decades, and every time I've looked at her, you know, this thought would come into my head, like, what is wrong with this picture? What is there something I'm missing? And by that, I mean, she's an intelligent woman. She's highly educated. I believe she's a physicist or some other high-level scientist. But the bottom line is, whenever I would see Angela Merkel, she would always be acting and passing laws and making decisions based on the dictates of the globalist elite. You could take any given problem, and she would 100% of the time predictably take action and voting and decisions that would move us towards a one world socialist government. She was obviously an agent of the globalist elite. But the enigma was, I didn't understand the process of how she got there. And I said to myself, she has had the benefit of massive advantages that most people don't have. She's not in that powerful position as head of Germany by accident. She was hand-picked and hand-placed there. So my questions were answered when I discovered that Klaus Schwab came right out and said that Angela Merkel of Germany is a product of Klaus Schwab's YGL Academy, where he develops and grows future world leaders. And then Sarkozy-Macron of France is another product of the young global leaders, selected as a very young man. And then Jacinda Ardern, Prime Minister of New Zealand, Scott Morrison, Prime Minister of Australia, and many more, but most notably, Justin Trudeau, Canada's Prime Minister. This is just a few. I don't know if there's thousands of names or hundreds of names, but there's hundreds of people, and they're accelerating. So you ask yourself, why? And by the way, I believe Obama went through such a program, and Hillary went through such a program, and probably quite a few Republicans, especially the RINOs. So the point is that the reason we have in the highest places in America and other nations people who basically pass policies that are traitorous to our nation is because they've been artificially put into power by the globalist elite. They are the agents of the globalist elite agenda. So we have enemies inside the camps. And until we wake up regarding that, we're going to be in captivity. And Trudeau, I don't even want to talk about Trudeau. It's obvious from his recent decisions. The one thing you'll notice with all of these, what they are is dictators. Klaus Schwab installs dictators. But the thing is, what you'll notice, what they all have in common is incredible arrogance, incredible disdain, and they look down upon working class and middle class men and women because, of course, they know better. But you know what? It has nothing to do with knowing better. It has everything to do with this is a power grab. This is a dictatorial, total power grab by the globalist elite. This is Nazi-esque from beginning to end. And you need to wake up and understand that, just as I do. And we need to educate other people before it's too late. You know, ignore their stupidity when they say, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. Nail them to the wall. I mean, you know, you have to use your best intelligence, your best wisdom, and your own common sense on how to win arguments and how to transform people and educate people with your words. But it can be done. The thing you got to watch out for is you don't surrender before you begin. Okay, comments on what's happening with the military conflict with the Ukraine and Russia, NATO, and the U.S. and potentially other countries. The danger of this military conflict is that there is the extreme possibility that it could escalate, perhaps unintentionally, it could escalate and go completely out of control. And by that, I mean, in a worst-case scenario, it could become a World War III scenario. In a worst-case scenario, it could lead to devastating things in nations across the world, including the United States. For example, you know, there's been a lot of talk about a massive power grid blackout. That would, I wrote about that in great detail in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. I've written about it in other books too, but in that book particularly. That, a great power grid blackout would be a nightmare scenario beyond anything you could possibly imagine. We can't allow that to happen because there are so many dangers that come along with that. First of all, it becomes, not only is it super dangerous in and of itself, people could starve to death, cut off from medicine and doctors, anarchy in the streets. I mean, lawlessness like you would never believe, no food supplies. Not only does that is that a potential, but it is also an invitation to the globalist elite to attempt to use a massive grid blackout as a pretense for a massive power grab, an official declaration of martial law. And again, I explain the details of martial law in The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, and in my two books, A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1 and Volume 2. I explain what happens in martial law. Martial law is when our nation is ruled no longer by the Constitution, but by absolute military control. So your opinion means nothing, the media is taken over, and if the wrong people or the wrong leadership declare martial law and send troops into our cities, kiss America goodbye forever, because there's no guarantee at all that our freedoms will be returned. Now, this is the gravest and most severe issues, and this is what could potentially happen out of a Ukraine-Russia situation or something like that. So, we cannot stand by idly and do nothing. If we do that, I promise you, we let go, and if we don't do our jobs as Christians, all hell can and will break loose. We must militantly, and I'm talking about a spiritual militancy, we must engage in militant spiritual warfare on an emergency level as individuals praying and interceding for what happens in Ukraine, what happens in the United States. We must pray unceasingly in intercessory prayer warfare. We must pray in small groups, in larger groups, churches. We must pray by ourselves. We must, just as an audience of the Paul McGuire Report, I'm asking you to pray, even if it's, you know what, 120 seconds daily. Now, it would be better if you could pray longer than that, but you could at least bring the key issues before the throne room of God. And if millions of people do that, that seems to release more of the power of God in a faster way. Because if we do not, we're the only people on earth, let's wake up here, we are the only people on planet earth that can release the supernatural power of God to destroy the great works of evil that are looming on the horizon. Nobody else but God's children have the power to supernaturally release the power of God. We've got to get that firmly established in our hearts. If we don't do it, there's nobody else to do it. So the qualifications for being able to do that is you must be born again and saved. Your sins must be forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. You must be born again and know it. And then, from the place of being born again, you then come boldly to the throne of grace, cleansed in the blood of Jesus by faith, and there you ask God, and you've got to get down to it. Be specific. Lord, in Jesus' name, send in your angelic armies to the conflict between Russia, Ukraine, NATO, America, and end this conflict, Father. Spare us World War III. Spare us a nuclear attack or a cyber attack. This is one example. So nobody on planet Earth can pray those prayers besides true, born-again men and women. Only we have been given the power, the supernatural power by Jesus Christ to occupy until he comes. Only we have the supernatural power and the supernatural authority in Jesus' name, where we can ask God for whatever we desire, not selfishly, and God will answer our prayers. Only we have the power to call down revival and power from on high. But if we're going to rebel against God, this is my warning to you, if we're going to rebel against God and be stiff-necked and fight him and be defiant, which is exactly what the church in America has been doing for the last 60 years, if we're going to be defiant and in rebellion from God, if we're going to continue to move into apostasy and unbelief, which is what the church has been doing, then it's over. It's over. We will suffer like you have no idea. God must, he has to be fair and he has to be just. Mercy is available to us. Grace is available to us. Deliverance is available to us. Miracles are available to us. But we must ask for those things in synchronization with the law and principles of God's word. So it's up to us. God is, you know, we can't play the evangelical cop-out game. Things are too dark and the situation is far too late. The people that you know that are like, you know, superficial Christians, I mean, don't go ballistic on them. The idea is to bridge the gap. But you've got to communicate to them that if they don't get into the spiritual warfare by praying, then all hell's going to break loose. And that's not what God wants. You've got to understand that. That's not the priority will of the Lord to let all hell break loose. But God has given the power to his children to bind whatever you bind on earth, including principalities and powers and evil works, whatever you bind on earth in Jesus' name will be bound in heaven. We have that authority in the name of Jesus Christ, but we have to use it. We have to come boldly before the throne of grace. And it is my prayer at the ending of this Paul McGuire report that every single person learning is that you catch on fire by the power of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit convicts you and you feel the knife blade of the sword of the Spirit circumcising your heart, circumcising away the hardness of your heart in your inner man or woman, and that you would be pierced by the sword of the Spirit, and that would sensitize you to the call of God that he is issuing right now from his throne room in heaven. Anyone who knows Jesus can feel the heart of God. And at this moment, you know that you know that you know that the Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he's calling you. He's calling me right now. And he's calling countless millions of other believers. Our job is to partner with him in the prayer. Our job is to partner with him in facilitating his call. And when we hear, I'm speaking to you directly in love, as you hear the Lord calling you now, and believe me, you can hear the Lord calling you now. You can hear the Lord knocking on the door of your heart. As you hear that, I humbly ask you, as your brother in Jesus Christ, I exhort you to respond to the Lord as you hear his call. Don't do what the backslidden Israelites and the backslidden Christians have done over history and pretend that you can't hear them. There's no one listening who is spiritually deaf. Every one of you listening can hear the voice of the Lord, the still small voice, calling you to accept your assignment as a spiritual prayer warrior. So what I feel in my spirit right now, and this is to those of you all over the world, I had a very encouraging letter from a gentleman, I believe it was Toronto, Canada, or maybe it was a major city in Canada, daily listener of the program, who prays. So I'm calling you No, let me rephrase that. The Lord is calling right now. And so as I speak these words to you, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who has been supernaturally called before the beginning or foundation of the world to be here for such a time as this, on that spiritual authority, supernatural call of God upon my life into ministry, it's on that spiritual authority that as I appeal to you and exhort you, I can feel very powerfully the presence of the Lord, the mighty presence of the Lord, descending upon large numbers of people on all the different platforms we're on. And most of all, you and I are in communion together right now. We're being brought together by the Spirit of Almighty God. Most of all, I sense the peace of God that passes all understanding and guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And that peace, that holy peace, is descending with indescribable warmth and gentleness. That holy peace is descending from heaven. And every one of us, including me and you listening, we are raising our hands upward and we're receiving this marvelous peace of God. It's totally silent. It's silent beyond description. And let the silence of the Lord, the peace of the Lord, come upon you and drink it in. And let the peace of God nourish you and restore your health and restore your mind. And let the peace of God recharge your spiritual batteries. Let the peace of God flush out all fear and confusion. Name of Jesus. And just spend a few moments pondering the overwhelming power of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and allow his peace to descend upon you like a blanket of glory. Let the peace of God descend upon you and allow yourself to feed on the peace of God in all richness. Just feed on the peace of God and let it replenish you and restore you. Lord, we praise you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We worship you, God. Lord, we're not embarrassed about preaching the gospel with power in the public marketplace of ideas. Lord, we are. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Lord, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's the power of God. Let the peace and power of God descend upon you. Lord, I praise you now that as the supernatural dunamis power of God falls from heaven upon your people, that yokes are being shattered, that chains are being buckled by the sword of the Spirit, that mighty deliverances are being performed miraculously in people's lives, that you are providing the finances they need, that you are providing the healing they need, the restoration they need, and Lord, fill them with hope. Let the peace of God that passes all understanding fill them with hope. God, praise your name, Jesus. We worship you. Now, in Jesus' name, regarding those bands of metal that are wrapped tightly around the chest and heart area of so many of your people, which represents a satanic bondage. It's a metallic band that is designed by Satan to put you into captivity. The Lord's peace is descending upon you now. And as the Lord's peace descends upon you now, instantaneously, powerfully, but gently, simultaneously. That band of metal is dissolving and disintegrating. It is no longer wrapped around your chest. You are no longer a captive. You are no longer in captivity. So, Lord, let the peace of God set every one of your people free from captivity of every sort. And let the peace of God, Lord, empower your people to be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, and fill us with a boldness so that we can take back the land. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I thank God for your prayers and joining with me in that, I believe, was a holy moment. I know that the Lord visited us with his Spirit, and that is never, we should never take that in a cavalier way. We should drink it in and rejoice in it. So I want to leave you to enjoy the presence and the peace of the Lord God Almighty. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us.